Thank you, worship team. Excellent job. Everybody okay? All right. We've been talking about, the last few weeks, we've been talking about final judgment of God. We're going to change today. I had one more message. I told my church last week, my dad preached 52 messages on hell. And my brother asked Dad, said, how in the world did you preach 52 messages on hell? He said, well, you have to be full of your subject. And I've only preached three, I think. So I'm not going to try to beat Dad's record. But we're living, listen, I want you to understand this. We're living in an exciting time. We're living in a wonderfully exciting time. I know that a lot of people are fearful, a lot of people are afraid, and a lot of people are, you know, they get freaked out about this coronavirus. And it is something you need to be cautious about. It is something that you need to not be careless about. But you don't need to walk in fear either. This is a tremendously opportune time, and I believe one of the opportunities that we're going to have is to be able to share Christ with people who are fearful and don't have an answer. Okay? Many of you have been praying for family members and friends to come to know Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. God can use this. And many people, I believe, are going to be running to church and running to the Lord because of the fear that they have. The enemy wants to use it for destruction, but the Lord wants to use it for good. And so you're going to have an opportunity to share Christ with a people who are fear-based rather than faith-based, and them come to know Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, because He's really the only answer, right? He's really the only answer. This is a tremendously opportunistic time. Another opportunity that we have is to grow in our relationship with the Lord. James said, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, and let patience have its perfect work so that you may complete and entire, lacking nothing. So this is an opportunistic time for us to grow in our relationship with the Lord and us to grow in maturity in Christ. This is a wonderful time. This is a wonderful time. And so you need to look at it as a wonderful opportunity to share Christ with others and also to grow in your relationship with the Lord. Look at every obstacle you face. You need to look at it as an opportunity to grow in your relationship with the Lord. If you run in fear, then you're going to miss the opportunity. Okay? You're going to miss the opportunity. Before we go any further, I have a very good friend here that I would like to pray for me. Dave Westmark and Lloyd Dean are here visiting with us, and they brought some friends with them. Some churches have closed down today, and so their church have closed, and so they just came to visit with us. So Dave, would you pray for me as I begin this morning, please? Yes, you may.
I'll give you the coronavirus hug. There we go. God, oh my goodness. Here we are in this day that's epic.
Yeah.
And that new times for us, and we don't know really what's ahead of us, except we do know that you're right here.
Amen.
You're walking with us.
Amen.
Blessing us because of the opportunities that you have for us and that you will empower us to share. So that's what we're asking this morning. Would you share through this brother in Christ, Brad? Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Dave. Yeah, some of you know Dave. He's in charge of the Celebrate Recovery at the Nazarene Church. He's a blessing to our community, a tremendous blessing, as well as Lloyd Dean. You guys are, thank you for just doing what you did. Appreciate that. They've been able to minister to hundreds of individuals. And continuing to do it, they're faithful to the Lord. And so you pray for them as they come to mind. So, when I was a child, I decided not to let fear rule me. Dad was a preacher. Sunday nights, he would tell one of us boys to go to the church and make sure all the lights were turned out. Church was a little larger than the one we're meeting in today. It had little cubby holes and little classrooms everywhere. And so, often, when one of us would go over, another one would sneak out and hide behind a corner and wait until you come around that corner, and then they would try to scare you. And I determined, as a kid, I'm just not going to get scared. And so people could roar me, and I said, nope, not going to get scared. Not going to get scared. Not going to get scared. Since that time, now that I've grown up, I know that I don't need to be afraid, not because I choose not to, but because the Lord has said, I will protect you. There are sometimes you need to be afraid. Okay? If a train is coming and you're in the middle of the track, you kind of need to get out of the train track. Right? There are sometimes the Lord has given us the ability to be afraid at times so that we can protect ourselves. And that's wise. That's good. That's the right thing. But there are times when we can be afraid when there's really nothing to fear. So today, I want to talk about there's nothing to fear. I've changed my message. I was going to preach on the judgment one more time. But I've changed my message to kind of fit where we are today. We'll just have to see what God does next week. But so what do you do during times of crisis? What do you do to keep from being fearful? First thing, I want to share with you that will keep you from being fearful is that you need to remember that the Lord loves you. You need to remember that the Lord loves you. In Romans 8, 35 through 39, it says, can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean He no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? As the Scriptures say, for your sake we are killed every day. We are being slaughtered like sheep. No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death, nor life, neither angels, nor demons, neither our fears for today, nor our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below, indeed nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus, our Lord. You know, there are a lot of people who know that God loves them in their head, but they really don't believe it in their heart. And we need to get it, just not just in our head, but we need to get it in our heart too. If you know that 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 God loves you, do you have any need for fear? There's no need for fear. If you know that God loves you. Tom quoted this next passage of Scripture, or he read it. 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love, but love, perfect love, casts out fear, because fear involves torment, but he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Perfect love casts out fear. Perfect love casts out fear. Now that word cast means to violently or intensely to throw away. Did you know that the love of God can take care of any fear in your heart? He says that the love of God will throw fear out of your heart. That's pretty powerful to be able to have that in your life. The perfect love of God. So I'm going to let you help me preach this morning. So how do you know that God loves you? Just a few words. Just let me know. Don't go into a large testimony. Pardon? The peace of God. He sent His Son. Freedom from what? Okay. Freedom. Amen. Fear, resentment, bitterness, all of that stuff. Someone else? A myriad of blessings. Someone else. The joy of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yes, Andy. Forgiveness. Yes. Because the Bible says so. Pardon? Community. Amen. Through trials and tribulations, God reveals His love to us. Listen, we've got to come to a point in our Christian lives that we know that God loves us, regardless of what's going on. So I'm going to ask you again, if you know that God loves you, do you have any need for fear in your life? Perfect love. Turn to your neighbor and say, perfect love casts out fear. Now, you can only receive that love from the Lord Himself. He's the only one who has perfect love. And did you know when you go and share Christ with someone else? So how many of you have gone to share Christ with someone and fear just kind of grip your heart? Where does that come from? The enemy. So if you have perfect love for that person, what's that going to look like? Fear is going to subside. And I don't care how mean or ugly they look. I don't care what attitude they carry. If you have perfect love for them, there's not going to be any fear. Because your desire is to see them come to the kingdom. And so you're going to be bold, not because of who you are in yourself, but because of who Christ has made you. Perfect love casts out fear. So whenever you go to share Christ with someone and that fear comes, just say, Lord, would you give me perfect love for this individual? Because if you have perfect love, it'll cast out fear. You cannot have perfect love and fear in the same place. right? It's either going to be love or it's going to be fear. You can't have both. So, 1 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, power, love, and a sound mind." God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. If you were at First Christian Church last week, Pastor Dean did an awesome job in kind of breaking this down. And we learned last week that this word spirit, Greek, is the same word that's used for the Holy Spirit, pneuma. So when he talks about the Holy Spirit, he says pneuma, the holy pneuma. When he talks about this spirit of fear, he uses this word pneuma, which is actually, it's not just an emotion, it's a fear. It's a spirit. Okay? So when we talk about perfect love casting out fear, we're talking about perfect love casting out a spirit of fear. Did you know that there's an emotion of fear and then there's a spirit of fear as well? This passage says that there's a spirit of fear and that the spirit of fear can rob us of love. It can rob us of a sound mind. It can rob us of power. Many people with mental conditions have an underlying problem with fear. And it's a driving force in their life. The Lord says that He has not given you a spirit of fear, of power, of love, and of sound mind. We should never allow fear to dictate our decisions. Let me say that again. We should never allow fear to dictate our decisions. Colossians, I think it's 3:15, says, "Let the peace of God rule your heart." Which basically means don't make any decisions if you are not in peace. If you don't have the peace of God in your heart and you're making a decision based on anger or fear or any other emotion, you're probably going to make a bad decision. It's probably not going to be in the center of God's will. And so I'm encouraging you, wait until you get to a place of peace before you make a decision to move. Okay? Does that make sense? How many of you have ever made a really wise decision when you were angry? Me either. How many of you have ever made a really wise decision when you were fearful and in panic mode? Me either. It's the peace of God that should rule our heart. So remember, the Lord loves you. Turn to your neighbor and say, "Remember, the Lord loves you." All right, the second thing you need to remember in regards to fear is that remember that the Lord is always with you. Remember, the Lord is with you. Genesis 26:24, "And the Lord appeared to him the same night and said, 'I am the God of Abraham, your father. Fear not, for I am with you.'" Exodus 20:20, "Moses said to the people, 'Do not be afraid. God has come to test you so that the fear of God will be with you to keep you from sinning.'" What if this coronavirus is a test? To see if you're going to walk in fear or if you're going to walk in faith. What if God wants to use this as a test to see if His children are going to trust Him or not? What if it's a test? I think it is. Are we going to run in fear? Are we going to run in faith? So here's the deal. If you pass the test, you will be stronger on the other side. If you pass the test, you're going to be more mature on the other side. How long is this test going to last? It's a season. It's a season. And usually, the way the Lord worked in my life, once I pass this test, He gives me a little more difficult test. Just encourage you. Not to make you afraid. Just encourage you. Because He wants to grow up into the maturity and the stature of Jesus Christ. Okay? I'm not there yet. I'm not there yet. And so He will continue to put those things in front of me so that I can grow up, because He loves me. Not because He hates me, but because He loves me. Deuteronomy 31:6 says, "Be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them. For it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you." Turn to your neighbor and say, "The Lord will never leave you or forsake you." Tell them again. They didn't hear it. Tell them like you mean it. "He'll never leave you or forsake you." He's never going to. Deuteronomy 31:8. "It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed." Isaiah 35:4. "Say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong and fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. With the recompense of God, He will come and save you." Isaiah 41:10, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." And we could go on and on and on and on. So, how many times does the Lord have to say something in order for Him to kind of convey what He's feeling? Probably just once. But He says this over and over and over again. And somebody said they've counted them one time. It's like 600 and something. "Don't be afraid. Don't be anxious." That kind of thing. I didn't count them. But it's all through Scripture. "Don't be afraid. Don't be anxious. Trust me. Trust me, because what? I am with you." So let me ask you a question. If the Lord is with you, do you have anything to be afraid of? If a bully comes and wants to attack me and my six brothers are with me, I don't have to fear. And my brother's going to take care of it. Right? I want you to understand that God loves you. Father wants you to understand this. He loves you. You need to get that deep. And Father wants you to understand that He is with you. You need to get that deep in your heart. Father loves you. He is with you. And He will protect you. Now, in Psalm 91, we prayed that for each other as we began. I'll read to you the first verse once again, because we have actually actually a responsibility in this. Psalm 91, verse 1, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." The ESV says, "As you dwell in the secret place of the Most High, you will abide under the shadow of the Almighty." And that shadow of the Almighty, I mean, that's God Himself. He says, "I'm going to overshadow you. I'm going to protect you." But what is the condition for Him protecting you? You dwell there. You live there. I'm afraid there are a lot of Christians who are getting the wrong message from perhaps some of our television evangelists. That all you have to do is just claim it and walk in it. The only way you can claim it is if you're doing your part. Okay? "Well, God, you said you'd protect me." Yep. If you're under the shadow of the Almighty. Yep. If you're abiding in me. Yep. That's the promise. But here's what I'm suggesting is that we need to do an inventory of ourselves to make sure that we are where we ought to be. Okay? Now, on the other hand, let's just say that we are where we ought to be and you get sick. "Oh, God, hey, I'm doing something in you. Hey, I'm doing something in you. I'm doing something through this. Trust me. Trust me. Trust me. Trust me." Can you trust the Lord when you get sick? It's easy to trust Him when everything's going hunky-dory. There's no financial problems. The stock market doesn't drop. "Oh, no! I thought I would retire." It's easy to trust Him when things are going great. But what are you going to do when things aren't so great? Because not always will everything be great. Unless you trust the Lord. Then things are going to be awesome. Now we sing a song, "In the Middle of the Storm." In the middle of the storm, I can put my trust in Him. Pastor Dean said one time, he said, "I thought life was supposed to be good, with every now and then something bad happened." He said, "I've discovered that every now and then, something good happens." He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Can you recall a time when God has been faithful to you? You need to hold on to those times, especially during difficult seasons. Deuteronomy 7:9. Remember His faithfulness. Remember His faithfulness. "Know therefore the Lord your God is God, the faithful God, who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love Him and keep His commandments to 1,000 generations. I love that passage. God's faithful to 1,000 generations. Psalm 31:5, "I entrust my spirit into your hand. Rescue me, Lord, for you are a faithful God." Psalm 136, 26, give thanks to the God of heaven. His faithful love endures forever. 1 Corinthians 1, 9, God will do this. For He is faithful to do what He says. He has invited you into partnership with His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. 1 Corinthians 10, 13, the temptations in your life are no different from others, what others experience. God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. When you are tempted, He will show you a way out so that you can endure. Psalm 56, 2 through 4. I am constantly hounded by those who slander me, and many are boldly attacking me. When I am afraid, I trust in You. I will praise God for what He has promised. I trust in God, so why should I be afraid? What can mere mortals do to me? Now, David wrote this psalm when he was captured by the Philistines. You may not remember that story, but he was captured by the Philistines, and it's like, it's time to freak out, right? Time to freak out. But he said, when I'm afraid, he didn't say I don't get afraid. He said, when I am afraid, I will trust in You. Here these Philistines gathered. I mean, he was the champion of Israel that killed hundreds. The Philistines are responsible for killing thousands with his army. They caught him. They took him before the king of the Philistines. David had a thought in his head. He said, if I pretend to be insane, they'll let me go. So he went before the king. He pretended to be insane. He started drooling down his mouth, acting kind of crazy. And the king said, man, I've got enough crazy people around here. Let him go. Let him go. So David said, when I'm afraid, I trust in You. And listen to this verse 4. You need to get this in your heart. He says, I praise God for the promises that He has made. He didn't say I'm praising God because I got loose from the Philistines. He says, I'm praising God because of the promises He has made to me. When you get in a difficult situation, you need to begin to look for God's promises and start praising Him for the promises. Praise Him for the promises that He has made to you. Build your faith up by praising Him for the promises He has made to you. David said, I'm praising God for you, O Lord, for the promises that You have made to me. Even though the promise has not been fulfilled yet, I'm praising You because You have promised this to me. You need to find those promises because there will be a time when you are in a deep, dark ditch. And you're going to need these promises to bring you up out of the ditch. And you need to praise Him in the middle of the ditch. I praise You, O Lord, for the promises that You have made to me. And then Psalm 34, 4. Listen, he says, I sought the Lord, and He answered me and delivered me from all my fears. Wow. Wow. I sought the Lord. He answered me and delivered me from all my fears. He didn't say He delivered me from everything that used to cause fear. He said, the Lord has delivered me from all my fears. Why? How did he get to that position? He says, I sought the Lord, and he heard me. So here's the deal. What I'm understanding is that we can either live in fear, or we can seek the Lord until we have assurance that he has heard us, and then we can be delivered from our fears. Is that what you're hearing? That's what I'm hearing. Here's what I know. God loves me. Here's what I know. God is with me. Here's what I know. He is faithful. This is what I know. What else do I need? This is what I know. Here's what the Lord wants you to know. He loves you. He is with you. And He is faithful. That's what you need to know. He loves you. He is with you. And He is faithful. Do you know that? Do you know that in your head, or do you know that in your heart? You need to get it from your head to your heart. And you need to spend time with the Lord, perhaps, until you get it there. Just like David said, I sought the Lord. I sought the Lord. Scripture says that whoever seeks Him will find Him. I sought the Lord, and He heard me. He delivered me from all my fears. You know, there's a lot of people who have fear of death and dying. They have a fear of death and dying. There are Christians who have a fear of death and dying. The Lord wants to deliver you from your fears. I mean, I don't have a death wish. It's not like I want, you know, to jump on the train today. But if something were to come my way, I'm ready to go. I know where I'm going. And I know that the place I'm going is a whole lot better than this place. I know that. And I have no fear of death. I have no fear of dying, because there's something wonderful in store for me. And when I'm finished with what the Lord has called me to do here, I will be with Him. I know that. Some of you this morning may not have that assurance in your heart. And let me just say this. If you don't know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you need fear. Right? You need to be afraid. You need to be afraid if you're not going to spend eternity with Him in heaven, because there's another place reserved for those who reject Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. It's called hell. God loves you. He sent His Son to die for you. Scripture teaches us that if we turn from our sin, turn to Jesus, we can have assurance of a place in heaven. If you're here today without Christ, would you not leave this place without turning to Him? Father, I come before You today. And I thank You. Thank You, thank You, thank You that You are with us. Thank You that You love us. Thank You that You are faithful. Lord, we can put our trust in You. And Lord, we don't have to walk in fear. We can walk with knowledge that You're taking care of us. With every head bowed and every eye closed. You here today, someone here today that does not know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you don't know for sure that you're going to go to heaven when you die. If you just raise your hand, I want to pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you. Assuming that's it. Some of you came today, you have fear in your heart. Just raise your hand, I want to pray for you. If you still have that fear. Praise the Lord. Lord, we give you glory, we give you praise, we give you honor. And I pray that you would search our hearts now and do whatever you need to do in our lives. We pray in Jesus' holy name.